We're talking with Dan Kovalik, who is a human rights and labor rights lawyer and a peace activist. He's contributed a number of articles to Counterpunch and Huffington Post. His book, The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran, was published in 2018. He will be speaking this Friday as part of the James Connolly Forum at 7 o'clock at the Oakwood Community Center, 313 10th Street here in beautiful Troy, New York. So Dan, how did you become involved with the Iranian issue?
Well, I've been a lifelong peace activist going back to college. And, of course, anyone involved in the peace movement has been concerned about Iran for a long time because the U.S. has been very aggressive towards Iran since the 1979 revolution, has imposed numerous rounds of sanctions against Iran, and of course is engaged in provocative acts against Iran, including, of course, the recent murder of General Soleimani. I actually had the good fortune to be invited to go to Iran in 2017, which I did, and that also informed my feelings about all this.
Now, I notice that you currently teach international human rights at the University of Pittsburgh School of Law. You know, I know that international law is not exactly great in actually supporting human rights and democracy, but, you know, how has the United States belligerence towards Iran, you know, run up against some of the, laws supposedly to protect international human rights?
Well, in numerous ways. Actually, the most recent case involving the U.S. and Iran was the International Court of Justice case that Iran brought against the U.S., which the U.S. lost last year. The International Court of Justice, which is the highest court in the world, it's also known as the World Court. It was created by the U.N. Charter in the 1940s after World War II. The International Court of Justice invalidated some of the sanctions regime of the U.S. against Iran. And in response, the U.S. simply said, well, we're okay, we don't recognize International Court of Justice jurisdiction anymore. And that's what you see time and again. I mean, the U.S. is flouting international law by imposing unilateral sanctions against Iran, which, results in suffering and death of people in Iran because they can't get food they need, they can't get medicine they need. Only the Security Council of the United Nations can impose such economic measures against a country like Iran. And the U.S. doesn't go through the UN or the Security Council to impose those sanctions. So that is illegal. But in addition, you have this, the death, the murder, and that's what it was, of General Soleimani, who was actually in Iraq at the time he was killed on a peace mission at the invitation of the Iraqi prime minister to try to build Middle East peace, especially was between Iran and Saudi Arabia. That's when he was killed. You know, there was no basis. As the days have gone on, it's very clear there was no imminent threat that he represented to the United States. And in fact, Soleimani, apparently Trump had ordered the murder of Soleimani 7 months ago. So obviously he wasn't an imminent threat. Or they would have carried it out a lot sooner. And Trump has stepped on his initial claim that he was an imminent threat. Given that, under international law, the U.S. had no right to do what it did. You know, and it should be noted, in fact, General Soleimani and the Iraqi leader who was killed, and he hasn't been mentioned a lot, both of them were very aggressively fighting ISIS in Iraq, which is another fact people should know about.
Now, of course, one of the issues has been in the media, to the extent they ever could pay attention to Iran, is the nuclear agreement that was struck, during the Obama administration. But that wasn't just a one-sided agreement between the United States and Iran. It also involved other countries. How have they, sort of responded to try to protect this agreement at a time when the Trump administration just seems to want to throw it out the window and escalate tensions?
Yeah, well, everyone, even the Trump administration, has agreed that it was working to the extent that Iran was abiding by the deal, was not enriching uranium above the levels agreed upon. And Europe, when Trump backed out of it, you know, said exactly that. You know, Iran's been abiding by this. This is working. And Europe promised Iran that it would try to salvage the deal by essentially engaging in economic activities with Iran that would help, you know, ease the sanctions that the U.S. was imposing, because that was part of the deal, that the U.S. would lift those sanctions if Iran was abiding by the agreement. But Europe, you know, really either wasn't willing or able to really live up to that part of the bargain. I mean, the problem is, of course, the U.S. is really the big kahuna in the world economically. If the U.S. sanctions a third country like Iran, it's very hard to for countries like those in Europe who depend so much on trade with the United States and financing from banks controlled by the United States to go around the sanctions. So in the end, Europe really wasn't able to salvage the deal. They still say they want to, but you know, from Iran's perspective, the sanctions are biting them. Everyone agrees that again, it's causing real suffering for the Iranian people, that people are dying due to these sanctions. So Iran's position is, you know, that the agreement is all but dead at this point. And of course it is. But again, the other, you know, thing that needs to be pointed out is that, you know, the U.S. has more nuclear warheads than any country in the world. Israel in the Middle East is the only country with nuclear weapons, even though they haven't declared them officially. Iran has none, you know, and has made it clear that they don't want any. In fact, the Ayatollah of Iran issued a fatwa, a religious fatwa, declaring nuclear weapons against the Islamic faith. So, you know, there is a huge, you know, elephant in the living room here that Iran, you know, does not represent any type of nuclear threat to the world. And yet they're being punished, even though they're agreeing not to enrich uranium above certain levels simply for energy purposes.
Now, I realize the United States never really very at all interested in the economic or democratic freedom rights of citizens of these countries that we then cite as an excuse to invade it. But, you know, how does the Iranian government, you know, sort of comply with generally accepted standards of, you know, individual human rights for its own citizens?
Well, first of all, we have to go back a little, you know, before I get to that issue. I mean, we have to recognize the fact that it was the U.S. and U.S. intervention in 1953 which destroyed Iran's incipient democracy. The U.S. overthrew a democratically elected prime minister in Mohammad Mossadegh and installed a king, the Shah, who ruled through force, through torture, with U.S. help, by the way. The U.S. helped set up the Shah's brutal Savak security agency. And he ruled in violence until he was finally overthrown in 1979. So first of all, the idea that the U.S. cares about democracy at all in Iran is a joke.
We have about a minute left.
Okay. But with all that said, look, Iran is not perfect. But, you know, in terms of women's rights, in terms of civil rights, in terms of being a pluralistic society, they frankly compare very favorably with other Middle East countries, and certainly much better with our close ally, Saudi Arabia.
So Dan Kovalik is speaking this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Oakwood Community Center, 313 10th Street, part of the great James Connolly Forum. If people want to get, I know you've actually written several books, but if people want to find out more about your background, you get a website, or how can they get copies of your book?
First of all, they can find copies of my book wherever books are sold, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other websites. They can go to my publisher's page, Skyhorse Publishing, and find my books, and they have a lot of ways listed there they can buy my books. And folks can follow me on Twitter, @Daniel M. Kovalik.
Well, thank you, Daniel. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.